Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you think this sounds ridiculous, you should have been in church on Sunday. This is Wretched Radio getting better. Nevertheless, and I've got the schmutz that appears to be going around, and it's a Klingon, not from Star Trek. It just won't go away. I think it's COVID. Jimmy, oh, by the way, have you been fear-mongered yet? I've noticed a slew, and I mean a veritable slew of commercials that are trying to terrify you, especially if you're older. Did you know that if you're over 60, your chances of getting pneumococcal pneumonia increase 6 times? No, no, not pneumococcal pneumonia. I guess I better get that jabbed. Shingles? Did you know that shingles is lurking in your body even now? And then they show the images on the TV of people who had it real nasty. And it is real nasty. But wow, the fear-mongering that is going on. Speaking of fear-mongering and Sunday morning, that's right. I'm taking a lot of cold medication right now. On Sunday, I did it again, Jimmy, a few weeks ago when I didn't have the schmutz. I think I yelled from the pulpit. Like, I got too loud. And I noticed it actually startled or woke some people up. And I did it again on Sunday. We were talking about the abomination of desolation. There's a subject on which we can all agree. Whew. And I was talking about the return of Jesus in the twinkling of an eye, like a flash of lightning from the east to the west. And I slammed my hand on the pulpit, you know, like bang, coming back. And I think I actually scared people, which actually is an interesting note in Matthew chapter 24. Friel, you're not going to preach the sermon again, are you? Not the entire thing. Matthew chapter 24 talks about the people who are going to see Jesus. Everybody's going to see Jesus. I don't know how that's going to work out. Perhaps, my flat earth friend, this would be an argument for your position. Somehow, we're all going to see the return of Jesus Christ. And those who are not in Christ, according to Jesus, they're going to mourn. Now, Revelation tells us they're going to be terrified, they're going to tremble, they're going to beg the mountains to fall on them to save them from the wrath of the Lamb. But they are going to mourn, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. And that is the beginning of their eternal weeping. I think that's a big part of the gnashing of teeth that happens, is I blew it. And there is no reprieve. There's not a do-over. I don't get a second chance. I am stuck here for forever. They're going to know it. And they're going to mourn. Those who are in Christ, going to rejoice like a nobody's business. It will be a day that is going to take your breath away. And if you haven't spent a whole lot of time these days thinking about the return of Jesus Christ and all of his splendor with myriads of angels that will accompany him, as he returns to judge the world in righteousness with the blast of the trumpet of the archangel and a shout from heaven like lightning from the east to the west, he will appear. It is going to be awesome. If you're in Christ, if you're not, then you are going to face him. You will have your showdown. You will have your day in court with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can assure you, it will not end well for you. You will mourn. Encourage you to take advantage of his offer of peace now so that on that day you will rejoice. So sorry for the continued, it's almost over. Now Jason down the hall has something, but he thinks it's a sinus infection. That's different. And I know a guy, Jimmy, who's actually got some sort of stomach thing going on.
Well, hopefully not anymore.
Oh, what you either do or you don't.
I did over the weekend, that's
what do you
for
mean?
Sure.
Hopefully not anymore. Do you or do you not have a stomach bug?
Saturday for sure. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a bit better today. So,
But you soldiered on and made it to church.
No, I did not. You've got to.
My tummy was upset.
Okay, now.
No, I had to stay home. There's just
people
no
are going to think I'm not a Christian. I was sick, man.
Do you want me to bail you out at this point?
I would like that.
Not going to happen. Hey, but speaking of not attending church, here's one you don't want to go to. That's right. That was our segue du jour, which was also the segue of the day. So you didn't make church.
I did not.
Yeah, Charlie's sermon was amazing. I listened to it online. You missed a good one.
And did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was it about?
I don't know. I was busy dealing with the abomination of desolation, which really, it really is a fascinating subject. And I actually think, now, other men have, well, they haven't suggested it. They've stated this before, but perhaps not this emphatically. There is a debate over what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 24, that there's going to be an abomination of desolation. So in order to understand what that means, you have to go back to the origination of that phrase, to Daniel chapter 9. It's also in Daniel chapter 11 that Daniel gives a 70-week prophecy. And after 69 weeks, there's going to be a small p prince who is going to make a mess. Now, the way that I read that prophecy in Daniel, it seems that it's broken up into three, well, you could even argue four bits. There's 7 weeks, 62 weeks, then 7 weeks. But in the middle of those 7 weeks, there's going to be a split. The first 7 weeks, which is a week of years. So the first 49 years, it's going to be from the decree of the rebuilding of Jerusalem, which you read about in Nehemiah, to its completion. Then you've got yourself 62 weeks, which is about 440 years, give or take, which, hey, what a coincidence. That aligns perfectly with the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem to be our Passover lamb. How lucky is that? But then you've got another week. So you've got another 7 years. According to Daniel, there's going to be some sort of an agreement made between the person who is the abominator of the desolationer, the one who makes a mess in the temple. There's going to be an agreement between him, Israel, 3.5 years in, breaks it, and things go from bad to horrific. And then Jesus comes back. And that, by the way, is something that everybody does agree on, whether you're post or pre-millennial. Everybody agrees on that. That's going to be the return of Jesus Christ. One of the debates that we have eschatologically, though, is the abomination of desolation. What is that? Or what was that? And it's challenging. And, well, I don't want to brag, but I think I'm going to be Jimmy Carter. I'm gonna bring about peace. Jimmy, can we go back and redo that? I don't like that I referred to myself as Jimmy Carter, even in a Camp David kind of way. This might just bring about some peace. Who is the abomination of desolation? Well, you have a challenge because in 167 BC, there was a Seleucid general who came to Jerusalem and trashed it and abominated it and did pig sacrifices on the altar. Now, did sacrifices for Zeus. That's an abomination. His name, Antiochus IV, Antiochus Epiphanes. He was one who definitely made a mess of the temple. Is he the one to whom Daniel was referring, prophesying? Some people would say, that one's kind of hard to get around because it sure, I mean, that was an abomination of desolation. But wait a second. Jesus speaks about it. We'll call it 33 AD. He talks about it in Matthew chapter 24. Then in 70 AD, we see General Titus, the emperor, coming to Jerusalem and trashing, destroying it, not one stone standing on top of another. And he also was an abomination. It ended up getting burned down. The temple was trashed. He proclaimed himself to be divine. Sacrifices were made to the standards, to the flags that had images of lions and the emperor as a divine entity. It was an abomination. Was that it? Well, if you're pre-mill, you're going, no, it was neither of those because it's going to be the Antichrist. when right before Jesus Christ returns. So it's not even an event that has taken place yet. I would like to offer a fourth option. And I'm not the only, just so you don't think that I'm some sort of eschatological crackpot. When, believe me, I don't want to be that because we've got plenty of those on the internet. Have you noticed that maybe this is something that would bring about some harmony? What if 167, which by the way, if you didn't know, Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the temple. There was an uprising, the Maccabean revolt, Judas Maccabeus, 164, reclaimed the temple, cleansed the temple. That's known as Hanukkah celebration these days. Even so. So he's one of the possibilities. 70 and then future. What if, here's our fourth option. What if it's all of them? What if it's all of them? In other words, what if Antiochus Epiphanes and 70 AD with Titus, they were foreshadowings? They weren't the ultimate one. They were foreshadowings. They weren't the actual one that Daniel was prophesying. They were, if you will, teases to the big one that was yet to come. If that is accurate, then, well, I don't want to brag or anything, but I would be Jimmy Carter. I'm sorry. I did it again, and I don't feel good about that statement. Then that would perhaps bring about a little bit of peace eschatologically. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Know your church fathers. Theophilus of Antioch lived a pagan lifestyle until he was converted by reading the scriptures. His most notable work, Apology, was written to an unbelieving friend to show that the scriptures were self-authenticating and argued that the antiquity, clarity, and consistency of the scriptures prove their divine origin. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, I'm neither smoking nor am I practicing mindfulness. I'm just, I know what's coming. I gotta calm myself down. This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you back in time. 25 years, a brand new church in Anderson, South Carolina, known as New Spring Church, was planted. And it featured a fellow who soon became known as the cussing pastor.
What if we took the message of the gospel that seriously? Because here's reality. There are people outside these walls today in Anderson, South Carolina, and in Greenville, talk about that next week, but in Anderson, that if they died today, they would go to hell. And there are some people in this room that don't give a
Oh, what?
Oh. And then there's some people in this room more bothered by the fact that I just said the word than you are worried about the people that are going.
Got us. And he plagiarized 25 years ago, ironically enough. No, that isn't Christian. Providentially enough, there was an evangelist named Tony Campolo who I think died within the last year. Tony Campolo was high on missions and he would travel the country to bring attention to missions and to raise support. And he did it via storytelling. He always told stories. I don't know that he ever actually preached the gospel, but he would talk about transformed lives and these amazing stories that would take place overseas. And he used that exact same line. I think it was almost verbatim, if I recall. And everybody was shocked. And Tony would say, see, that's my point. You're more shocked. You're more concerned that a pastor would use a potty word than you are about people dying and going to hell. Well, provocative? Yeah. Plagiarized? Definitely. By Perry Noble, who became known as the cussing pastor who was regularly inappropriate in the pulpit.
Elkanah, I love this part. I'm going to get some emails about this, but I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says, all right? Elkanah lay, bless God. Elkanah lay with Hannah.
Yeah. See, the Bible talks about as the eggs. Yeah. Sorry, this agitates me because this is a man who is unqualified and who, by all appearances, really loved being in the spotlight.
I got a little change in my pocket going ching-a-ling-a-ling. Wanna call you on the telephone, baby. Give you a ring. Each time we talk, I get the same old thing. Always no hugging, no kissing until I get a wedding ring.
I do not know the lyrics to this song, but I do know they're not appropriate for Sunday morning worship, which is what you were just listening to. Perry Noble was the senior pastor at New Spring Church, planted 25 years ago. Perhaps none of this is surprising to you because you recall tracking this story. But what might surprise you is what I just learned about New Spring Church. And that is, it was planted by the Southern Baptist Convention. Did you know that? Neither did I, but I was reading from the New Spring website their decision to actually disfellowship from the Southern Baptist Church. And I'm sorry, I wish the Southern Baptist Convention would stop waiting to get left behind. And I don't mean that in a premillennial kind of way. I wish that they would deal with pastors like Perry Noble. This man was unqualified. He did so much goofy stuff that was inappropriate. I wish the SBC would disfellowship churches that had pastors like this. Nevertheless, when it was discovered 5 years ago, 7 years, I don't even know how many years ago, that Perry Noble was indeed not qualified to be pastor, the elders at New Spring Church terminated him. And as I recall, even it was because it was a mystery. The reason that I remember this, it was such it just didn't make sense. New Spring Church, who has this guy as their pastor, actually did the right thing. and removed him from leadership. And then, of course, he went out and got restored, and now he's back in business somewhere in or near Anderson, South Carolina. But NewSpring, as I recall, handled it well, which kind of surprised me. But what surprised me was reading that NewSpring was a part of the SBC and is now leaving the SBC. Why does this matter? Because the reasoning that NewSpring Church is using to justify female pastors is noteworthy, because this argument is going to come to your church. The statement, the Faith and Baptist, what's the name of the thing that the Southern Faith and Message?
Baptist Faith and Message.
Yep. Just statement of faith. Something, fellas, if you could work on that. The office of pastor / elder / overseer is limited to men as qualified by scripture. Well, NewSpring has female pastors, and they would argue, hey, we're being biblical because we don't have a woman as the, what they would call, lead pastor. But we believe that women should be empowered for ministry. Therefore, they can be pastors as long as they're not lead pastors and as long as they're under the leadership of men. And so it was discovered that NewSpring had female pastors. To their credit, the SBC investigated it, and to their, sorry, not credit, they gave them a pass. It was determined by the whatever committee that they are indeed in alignment with the Baptist Faith and Message Statement of 2000. Well, that didn't satisfy many people, including, as I understand it, the president of the SBC, who encouraged the committee to take another look at that, fellas, because they're playing games. This is a semantic shell game that is being played. And they can try to chin boogie this any way that they want, but the reality is they are in violation of 1 Timothy 2:12. And I'm not a Southern Baptist, so I can't speak for the SBC or I'm even hesitant to be critical, but that's not in alignment with the Baptist Faith and Message. And it is worth studying how it is that NewSpring is framing this to make sure that it doesn't get used in your church. This is from the NewSpring website announcing, we're withdrawing. This decision, they wrote, is not made out of disagreement with the SBC's core commitments. That's worth noting. They're claiming, no, we're with the SBC. The office of pastor, elder, overseer is limited to men. We affirm that. So then how is it that they have female pastors? And you're going to hear that explanation in a moment, but they are under the impression they're doing just fine. If you're a Southern Baptist, this might be instructive. I know you're going to your convention very soon, and the issue of the law amendment is going to come up to tighten up the 2000 statement, because it is clear NewSpring, while having female pastors, is under the impression that they are in conformity with this statement. I think that means the statement needs tightening up. And if the SBC is going to put an end to churches that use semantics to get away with having female pastors, I got to tell you, it sure seems like the law amendment would do the trick in that regard. They write that we're not leaving because of disagreement with SBC's core commitments, but rather, out of a sincere desire to preserve unity and prevent unnecessary division within the body of Christ, because people they're arguing about it online and they're claiming, hey, we don't want to cause disunity, so we're going to disunite from the SBC, which is a little bit on the ironic side, if you don't mind me saying so. The SBC Credential Committee, that's the name of the division that discussed this with NewSpring, actually asked them questions. Hey, where are you at with being in alignment with the SBC? And I'm going to share with you how NewSpring responded to the SBC Credential Committee. And this is where we're going to learn where the chicanery lies. It's semantics. It's playing around with definitions and using adjectives to get away with what the Bible clearly states is verboten. NewSpring believes, here's the statement, that women play a vital and significant role in ministry and leadership within the church. Okay? Gotta define that. Therefore, NewSpring encourages and provides opportunities for women to exercise their God-given gifts. All right. Just because a woman might be articulate, that doesn't mean that God gave her the gift of preaching when he says, I do not allow a woman to preach or have authority in the church. That this is being used too. Look at how talented she is. Do you want to, that's God's gift to her. No, it's God's gift in that somebody's articulate, but that doesn't mean that that supersedes a clear admonition for the role of women in church, including, they write, leadership, teaching, and ministry. And then here comes the prepositional phrase that NewSpring believes gets them out from underneath 1 Timothy 2:12 and the Baptist statement, the Baptist faith and message statement of 2000, of that prepositional phrase, next on Wretched Radio.